Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Google. What makes them industry giants? Get ready to take a peek inside and learn their secrets of success. This is Silicon Valley Insider, the show that demystifies the Valley and helps to elevate your business to the next level. Now, your host for Silicon Valley Insider, Keith Koo.
Welcome to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. On today's show, I have Chris Cochran, who's the head of threat intelligence for Netflix and the host of the Hacker Valley Studios podcast. On this week's tech news, the city of New Orleans has declared a state of disaster due to a significant ransomware attack. They have not disclosed everything that's been affected. It's not a complete shutdown, such as the case was with Atlanta about a year and a half ago, but it is significant enough that they are treating it with all hands on deck. The FBI just released a warning that your new smart TV, which you probably bought during Black Friday, could also be used to spy on you. And the reason why that is because there's components inside of there, like a microphone and camera, that could have been pre-configured with spyware, or as you're putting it onto your network, that you're not securing as well. This also goes for a similar warning for your office's video conferencing equipment. In more ransomware news, a Canadian lab agreed to pay the ransom to retrieve their locked data. This case was about 15 million records on people that they thought was important enough that they had to pay that ransom back. And that goes into a story called the Maze Ransomware Gang. They are a group that claim to have stolen a lot of data and locked a lot of people's and companies' systems down. And to prove it, it's almost like extortion, or is extortion. They're releasing only little bits of data to show you that they really have it, and then asking the victim again whether or not they're willing to pay the ransom. In other news, payroll data of 29,000 Facebook employees was stolen. And as much as it sounds like a hack, you know me, it's not really a hack. An employee for Facebook had left hard drives, physical hard drives in their car, and those physical hard drives were stolen from the car, so again, not a hack, and those hard drives are not encrypted. Now, this is an issue that's been around for decades. I worked for a company 15 or so years ago that had the exact same thing happen during an acquisition, and we had all of our employee data stolen, actually lost. This is more of news that even the largest technology companies in the world may be careless in how they secure their data. Last up is that Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota is racing to fix a bunch of security flaws that a whistleblower outed them for. Now, in this case, it was over 200,000 vulnerabilities that they knew about, according to the report, and they let linger for years. And so once this report came out by a whistleblower, which talks about two things. One, if you're a mature organization, you should be able to protect against data leaks, even if it's a whistleblower. But two, 200,000 critical vulnerabilities is a very big number to be hiding for many, many years. And I'm hoping that it's a wake-up call for many industries to do the right thing. And that's the tech news of the week. Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo, and once again, I'm joined with Chris Cochran, who is the head of threat intelligence for Netflix and the co-host of Hacker Valley Studio podcast. Welcome, Chris.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Keith.
So, Chris, tell me, how did you get both into threat intelligence and cybersecurity and becoming a podcast host?
Oof. Yeah, so those are two super long stories that I'll try to make as short as possible. But I got into cybersecurity. I don't think any way is pretty traditional. We're sort of getting to that point. But I was in the Marine Corps for about 5 years. I was doing something called digital networks intelligence. And so that had to do with computer information, but I wasn't doing anything like hands-on. When I got out of the Marine Corps, I went to United States Cyber Command as it was standing up. And I was doing all source analysis, which eventually became what we consider threat intelligence. I struck out on my own, and I had my own company for a long time. 2 years. And what we did was we stood up threat intelligence capabilities for government organizations and also commercial organizations as well. I kind of did a round robin in the consulting realm. I was at Booz Allen Hamilton for a little bit. I was at Mandiant. And then one day Netflix reached out and said, hey, how would you like to head up threat intelligence at Netflix? And that was sort of a dream job for me. I feel like all of my work up until that time had led up to this role. It's an amazing company with an amazing mission.
And so hang on. Cybersecurity is such a broad field, and yeah, we're talking about threat intelligence. What is threat intelligence?
So threat intelligence in its most basic form is I look at all the things that could go wrong. So I look at the threat landscape, and I look at the malware. I look at the groups that would be coming after Netflix and our industry, so media and entertainment. And I try to keep the decision makers within the organization abreast of all the threats that are happening nowadays.
Are you able, and if you can't, that's fine. Are you able to disclose how many times a day a company is being attacked?
No, there's no real way of telling. There are attacks happening all the time. Some of them are automated. Some of them are targeted. But I'd say every single day there's companies being attacked.
Yeah, I talk about it a lot, and it's interesting because Netflix is into digital streaming and it's quote-unquote an internet company. So I'll talk about banking because banking is regulated and more widely known. When I was running technology risk for a large bank, we talked about getting hit 50,000 times a day, which sounds like it's a lot. It is. And it's you hear a lot about blockchain and Bitcoin or Ethereum, these exchanges getting hacked.
Right.
I think it was the Binance CEO who says, I get hit 20 times a day. I'm like, 20 times a day. That is not very many times. But I can imagine, again, an internet company is getting slammed all the time, even if it's not quantified. I mean, you have to think about securing your network all the time.
Oh, yeah. We always think of security and, we do our best to maintain, our posture. We do a lot in terms of, thinking proactively rather than being reactive.
Great. So how did that lead to a podcast?
Yeah. So when I came out here, I stayed with a good friend of mine, Ron Eddings. We worked together at an old company called IronNet. That's actually a General Alexander startup. Shout out to General Alexander. So we worked together in Maryland. He came out here to the West Coast, and I wouldn't say we lost touch, but we just didn't talk as often. And when the opportunity at Netflix came up, I talked to him, and he said I could stay at his house. And so we got together. He had already had the setup, and he was doing technical walkthroughs and videos like that. And so I said, let's get on the mic and have a conversation. So that's how it started. We just sat down and started talking, and we started bringing on guests and, just really kind of traveling with it as well. And so it's been an amazing road so far.
And, one thing that people don't think about radio show versus a pure podcast is that it's very common to have a niche and a very specific niche, which you're doing threat intelligence.
Yeah, so we cover a large swath of cybersecurity, even on the outskirts. So, we'll talk about, fashion in cybersecurity. We'll talk about selling cybersecurity as a product or as a vendor. We talk about things like soft skills, like leadership. We'll talk about being vulnerable in the workplace. We talk about all sorts of things. Sometimes we do get deep into tech. We had red teamers on talking about how they use math for their red teaming engagements and things like that. But yeah, we picked the niche of cybersecurity because that's what we know. And I'd say our even more drilled down niche is probably more of the human aspect of cybersecurity. Like, who are the minds behind all of these great programs and things in cyber?
That's great. So I think it's been a wonderful start to the show. Once again, it's Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. I have Chris Cochran, who is the head of threat intelligence for Netflix, and a co-host of his own podcast, Hacker Valley Studio. Just as a reminder, you can always download our finished shows on our website, svin.biz. Any questions or comments about our guests or the topics we talk about? Email us at info@svin.biz. You can find us on Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. And we'll be right back with more of Chris.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Hey, Insiders, welcome back to the show. Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo, joined with Chris Cochran, who is the head of threat intelligence at Netflix and the co-host of the Hacker Valley Studio podcast. Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you.
So, Chris, this is a great question to ask you because we often have all types of cybersecurity experts on our show, many times from a vendor perspective, some company like Checkpoint. But for you being in corporate, it can be any corporate, how are we addressing the shortage, the labor gap of cybersecurity?
I think one thing that companies are really trying to do now is have more outreach for underrepresented populations that are out there, you know, reaching out to children that are, you know, interested in cybersecurity. So we've hosted a few different groups from middle school all the way up through high school to come in, and they sort of, you know, we give them a tour and we have, you know, experiences for them. We even had an escape room, a hacker escape room that was put on by a good friend of mine, Kim. You know, we do things like that because we want people to start thinking about cybersecurity earlier. It wasn't until, you know, not more than a decade ago where cybersecurity wasn't like a full-time job. It really wasn't publicized that this is something that people could go into. So when I was coming up, I was looking at things like, you know, computer science, you know, and if I was really lucky, I understood certifications, you know, getting CCNAs and stuff like that. But I think reaching out to youth now and getting them interested in cybersecurity is going to be paramount to actually close that gap.
Well, thank you. I think it's great that you're investing in youth and underprivileged communities. We talk about it, and I think most people in the U.S. at least wouldn't really think about it off the top of their head, but hackers come from all over the world, often in third world countries, because the barrier is so low for entry. And so you can easily have an 11-year-old who is the hacker behind the quote-unquote the wheel, the keyboard, who's ransoming, you know, doing ransomware, asking you for payment in Bitcoin. And it's like these farms. So it's not that the child isn't capable. It's just that we have to be willing to train them.
Yep.
Some of the guests in the past shows are really well-known in Israel, which is actually their – in Israel, everyone joins the military at some point,
right?
Men or women, and cybersecurity is a track for them, just as technology in general. So whether it's rogue actors or state-sponsored cyber terrorists, I think that we should not underestimate the power of our own youth to pick up these skills and help defend our infrastructure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So then what else have you been thinking about in the cybersecurity? We talked about the skills gap. Mm-hmm. What are some other things that you think beyond the skills gap that need to be put in place? What kinds of technologies do you want to see?
Yeah, so I'm actually going to be speaking next week at the AI Summit in New York. And one thing that I would really like to see, and I think there are companies that are doing it now, there are companies and other organizations that are really looking at how can artificial intelligence actually help the cybersecurity plight? Because things are only getting tougher. There are more adversaries out there today than there ever have been. There's more attack surface as we're moving to more applications in our lives. The more we have exposure to the internet, the more there's an opportunity for someone to attack that. And so I think that artificial intelligence or AI can actually help with the protection of an individual. I think it can help with the protection of an entire organization or an industry. We just have to continue to march down that path of what is in the realm of possible for AI. And I think that's what's going to help us out in the long run.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring that up because there's a lot of controversy between cyber experts on whether not where AI is going to be, but whether today if AI is ready to actually defend, because there's some folks who say that, and I know them really well, they say that AI is not there yet. It can't, like, for instance, defend against a zero-day attack.
Well, I mean, I really think it depends on the application of the AI. Like, if you're doing some machine learning, there might be some applications that can help defend today that are pretty niche and specific. But I think the real gold is still in the future. I think that you could use machine learning to do a lot of cybersecurity-centric things in your environment. But for now, if you wanted to have a black box that could protect you from everything, no, we're not even close to that just yet.
Right. So what are some of the tips and advice you have for people who want to get into cybersecurity as a career?
Yeah, that's a good question. One thing that I tell everybody that wants to get into cybersecurity is you don't have to have all the job experience in the world to get a position. You can actually do something like a project. Like, if you took 6 months and you found a project that you found interesting and you worked through it, even if you were going to just stand up, say, a security operations center in your house, like walking through the pieces that you had to combat with, you know, running into problems, connectivity problems, integrations problems, and you can explain to me that, you know, I built this whole thing, you know, this is where I have my SIM, this is how I do my analysis, these are the logs that I've aggregated. That sounds to me like somebody that has a passion for cybersecurity, and also they've actually done some of the things that I would be asking them to do in the job role. So pick a project that you find interesting and sort of execute against it. And then also, once you know what you want to do or have an idea, find someone that's already doing it and actually have them come and give you, you know, that springboard into what you want to do, because they've knocked their head against the wall and run into all the problems that you're going to run into. So why not take a shortcut?
That's great advice. And I think that coming out of tech, you said it earlier, even a decade ago, people didn't really think about, I'm an expert at cybersecurity. They're going to come up from different walks of life, maybe from a technology background. But then technologies change very fast, too. So you have to be very flexible, because even if you become an expert at today's technologies to combat cybersecurity, once you get in, it's a continuous learning cycle.
Absolutely. It's funny you say that, because when people ask me, what is the number one skill that I would want to tell somebody to have in cybersecurity, and that's agility, the ability to pivot into, you know, changes in attack infrastructure, changes in threat landscape, changes in technology, changes in the way we do business as individuals. You have to be on your toes, because tomorrow something could come along and be a game changer and disrupt the whole industry, and being able to adapt is huge.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing. Change is constant. The hackers, the cost, the barrier to entry is so low, they can develop new techniques all the time. So it's actually, once you get into cybersecurity, it's job security.
Absolutely. Yeah, we have a 0% employment rate right now. And I think it's only going to get tougher, because, you know, the first gap I think they came out with, it was, you know, a few years ago, it was at 2.5 million by 2025 or something like that. And it's constantly gotten shorter. So now it's at 2021, and now they're thinking it's going to be 4 million jobs completely open. And so that's what I try to do with my show. That's what I try to do with my activity on LinkedIn, is try to be an example of somebody that has done well in the cybersecurity space and make it exciting for people to try to get in. And, you know, even for people that have kind of lost hope, that were trying to get in at first, it's like, you know, just give it another shot. But yeah, that's what I've been trying to do.
Well, thanks. So you're listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. I'm joined with Chris Cochran, who's the head of threat intelligence at Netflix and the co-host of his own podcast, Hacker Valley Studio. And when we come back, we're going to be talking more about Chris's podcast platform, how he and his partner got started again, which we covered earlier. Any questions or comments about how to reach Chris, email us at info@svn.biz, and we'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider. I'm your host, Keith Koo. Once again, I'm joined with Chris Cochran, who's the head of threat intelligence for Netflix and the host of the Hacker Valley Studios podcast. On this week's Cyber Tip, I'm going to talk about ransomware. This whole show has been about cybersecurity. We talked about how New Orleans just got hit with a massive ransomware attack and a large part of the city is shut down. Always be aware, whether you're an organization or individual, that there are many ways to be attacked, and very commonly through email, a phishing campaign, or by clicking on links on websites that you're unfamiliar with. So always be very aware and purposeful of where you want to go, and do not do downloads, clicks, or respond to emails that you don't know who the sender is or why you're even getting that message. Also be aware that the cost of the ransomware is not just the extortion payment itself. It also encompasses everything you have to do afterwards to figure out what data was lost, what was taken, and how important that is. On one, can you get it back and recover it? And two, do you have to report that the breach occurred to your regulator if you're a regulated entity? So the cyber tip is always be aware of your surroundings. Make sure you know what sites you're going to, what emails you're answering. And also, the FBI states never pay the ransom. With the only caveat that the FBI won't state is if you happen to already pay for a cyber insurance policy, then you might consider letting your insurance carrier pay the ransom for you so you can get your data back. And that's the cyber tip of the week. Welcome back to the show. Once again, I'm joined with Chris Cochran, who's the head of threat intelligence at Netflix and the co-host of his podcast, Hacker Valley Studio. Welcome back, Chris.
Thank you.
So let's talk about podcasting. It's not something I normally cover because I have a radio show which becomes a podcast.
Right.
So I don't really have the podcaster mentality, but it is a podcast.
Yep.
We had talked about earlier how you got started, how you can make cybersecurity in itself a topic about a podcast. What is your desire when you podcast? Why are you doing it?
So if I can be completely transparent, I just like having conversations with people. And that is a perfect excuse to get somebody in front of you to have a conversation and say, hey, I have a podcast. Do you want to talk about anything? And a lot of times they'll say yes, because, you know, it gives them a chance to have a platform to get across whatever message is on their chest. And I, you know, take, you know, pleasure in being able to talk with these people and have these, you know, really deep conversations about whether it's their passion in cybersecurity, whether it's, you know, the things that they care about outside of cybersecurity that you can then apply to cybersecurity. So, for instance, if you have somebody that's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu practitioner, like, how does that apply to cybersecurity? So, you know, they look at it like a chess match and being able to think, you know, 8 moves ahead. And so, you know, that's my selfish desires to have those great conversations, but then also to be able to share that with everybody.
Yeah, and that's what I think is great about the podcasting format in itself. I know that there's some calculation. There's over 700,000 podcasts that have been produced since podcasting became a thing. This year, there's 220,000 are still active, but they still think that podcasting as a medium is still growing. And there's a reason for that. I mean, yes, to become a peer podcast, it's a low barrier to entry. And really, it's in a way replaced blogging in a sense, because now you're just able to get good quality equipment and get your gear and then have a channel. And you can choose whatever platform that fits your budget to do that. And so I see a lot of folks in all walks of life, and especially folks like you, Chris, who come out of an enterprise and you have a story or something you want to impart. I see that as actually something of value that you can share.
Yeah. So what I think is great is when you have a podcast, you can literally talk about whatever you want to talk about. So some people come in and they just talk. They talk about, you know, their day. It's almost like a journal. And you can listen to their life. And if you start to glean things, whether it's entertainment or information, then you start to build a following. You start to build a community. And once you start to get, you know, really big, you can start to influence how things operate, which I think is really cool. Because if you have really good ideas about how something should be, and you have a platform to do that, and you have people that will listen to that, that's where you can actually enact change in an industry.
So since you have a podcast on cybersecurity, give some examples of how you keep it fresh and relevant. Because it's such a narrow topic to the average listener, but then in cybersecurity itself, there's so many different disciplines. How are you keeping it fresh? What are some of the interesting stories from that?
Yeah, so how we keep it fresh is that we sort of open the aperture because we find that there are experts that are outside the realm of cybersecurity, but they can have information that could apply to cybersecurity and make people better. So if you have somebody on that knows about fitness, you could actually help someone who is dealing with alert fatigue. You know, they're sitting in a SOC or security operations center and they're answering alert after alert after alert, you know, triaging, and they're getting tired. But if you then listen to our podcast and you say, oh, wow, they have a guest on that's talking about fitness and nutrition and, you know, being able to manage energy. Oh, maybe I can apply that to my role. Because I sort of look at cybersecurity as being a mental athlete because it is constantly problem solving. You're playing chess 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, all year long.
Yeah, I don't think about that. That's a great tie-in that you have a fitness instructor helping people deal with physical fatigue on their job.
Yeah. And we even, to go even further than that, we have had, you know, LinkedIn experts, people that specialize in getting companies exposure in LinkedIn. Like, how do you build a community on LinkedIn? And that's something that I've been doing this year, is really focused on building that community. And so if you are a startup in the cybersecurity space, and then you hear, you know, Bryn Tillman talk about, you know, social selling and, you know, how do you develop this network that actually like cares about you as an individual, not just as like a company, but as an individual, how do you do that in that space? And so even though it's not centric to cybersecurity, it can still apply to cybersecurity.
So how would you encourage someone to start their own podcast?
So I would say just start, you know, we didn't start off, you know, with the best flow. We didn't start off with the fancy, you know, icons. We didn't have all that stuff, you know, just start. If it was up to me and I had to start on my own, I'd be starting with just a laptop and a headset, you know, just sitting there, you know, in a room, try to make it as quiet as possible and just start talking about the things that, you know, you would want to hear, you know, make the stuff that you would be comfortable, you know, listening to on a car ride, you know, just what are, you know, you don't have to specialize right away. I mean, if you have that mission and that passion in the beginning, that's great, but just start talking.
What are some of the shows you have coming up?
Yeah, so coming up, we are talking to some folks at the AI Summit. We're going to be talking about artificial intelligence from many aspects, not just central to cybersecurity. We have my good friend, Chris Hagnagy. He wrote the Social Engineering Toolkit. And he's also has a conference that's coming up here next year. Also, one of my good friends, Deviant Olaf, he does physical penetration testing. He literally wrote the book on lockpicking. And so we used to actually work together.
Physical lockpicking or digital lockpicking?
Physical lockpicking. Yeah, and he has a company, the Core Group, with all good friends of mine. And they literally break into places, and that's how they make a living, which I think is pretty cool. So he's going to be on the show as well.
Just to clarify, they're breaking into places, and they're paid to break into places.
They are paid to break into places. Yeah, it's a tough job.
It's like the physical version of white hat hackers.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, it actually is a tough job, though.
Well, at one of the companies I worked with, we actually hired I won't mention him, but we hired the person who was the main subject of Catch Me If You Can. So a former criminal who became an expert in fraud,
right.
And now financial institutions hire them to do fraud consulting.
Oh, wow, really? That's pretty cool. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, so if you ever turn into a black hat, which I'm not suggesting you do. So what some advice you would give to a listener on how to keep themselves safe, especially in this time of year with the holidays and shopping?
Yeah, the main thing you can do is be vigilant when you are answering your emails. That's one thing, because you're going to see a lot of criminal actors trying to, you know, take advantage of the holiday season. You know, people are trying to be thrifty. You know, you don't want to spend all your money on gifts because then you don't have enough money for food. So if you see a deal that's too good to be true, it probably is. You're not going to get a free iPad. That is not likely the case. So don't click that link. One thing you can do if you feel savvy enough is if you see an email and you're kind of on the fence about it, just hover your cursor over it. Don't click it. Just hover over it and you'll be able to see what that actual link is, because it might not even go to, you know, Apple or whatever thing that that fish is geared towards. So yeah, just be careful what you're clicking on. Be careful what you're clicking on across all social media, and stay safe.
That's great. I would say Chris is talking about phishing, but with a P, P-H-I-S-H, and that's where you get, in this case, an email that says, hey, you won something, or click on me, or we have a problem with your order. One of the things I am seeing more and more of is very sophisticated hackers will not just phish, but will actually change the body of the email itself to make it look like a very authentic communication from whoever you might have ordered from.
Yeah, exactly. And even sometimes what they'll do is they'll actually create a page that looks just like the page that you think you're going to. And so if you click the link and you see yourself, you know, wherever that portal is, that's not that portal. They're trying to get your credentials. They're trying to use it to take over your account or do anything, you know, steal your payment data, all that stuff.
So, Chris, with just the last minute we have in this segment, what's something you want to leave with people who are thinking about a cybersecurity career?
One thing I would leave with everybody is look at cybersecurity as a way to deal with puzzles, because you're constantly problem solving. You're constantly looking for ways to keep your organization safe, your country safe. You're looking to keep individuals safe across, you know, the globe potentially. So look at it as a way to problem solve and help people at the same time.
Well, Chris, thanks again for being on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me. This was awesome.
Yeah. So Keith Q, Silicon Valley Insider, special guest Chris Cochran, head of threat intelligence for Netflix and the host of the Hacker Valley Studio podcast. Don't go away, because Chris will come back on The Pivot. Any questions or comments about today's show, email us at info@svn.biz. I'll be right back.
For questions or comments on today's program, call 1-888-828-7846. That's 888-828-SVIN. Now, back to Silicon Valley Insider. Once again, your host, Keith Koo.
Hey, Insiders. Welcome back to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. In studio is Chris Cochran, who's the head of threat intelligence and the co-host of the Hacker Valley Studio podcast, which is a podcast all about cybersecurity. Thanks for being here, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
So all about today's show is about Chris, his podcast, his day job, and now we're on The Pivot. Chris, what keeps you up at night? What are some of the emerging threats you see?
Oof. Some of the stuff that I'm seeing more recently is everyone's moving to the cloud, because the cloud has so many benefits in order to do your operations as a business. The problem that you can run into is these, you know, accidental misconfigurations of their cloud infrastructure. And what happens is you have really valuable data exposed to the internet where not so nice people can get access, and they could use it for criminal. They could sell it. They could, you know, use it themselves to do something malicious. That's really what keeps me up at night. And I think that goes to a lot of education of our cyber professionals and the people that are actually putting together our infrastructure.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I often teach a class on cybersecurity to non-technical folks, especially in financial services. And they're often shocked when I tell them that one of the biggest threats is insider threats, which means somebody within your company. And it's not always nefarious. It's just sometimes it's sloppiness, but oftentimes it's just a lack of education. They don't know that when we talk about cloud, so I had to write a white paper once on the usage of cloud when it was new, and we didn't choose one of the biggies, which I won't name on the air, but we chose a vendor that we could actually get the physical location of the server, because that was one of our own requirements. In this example that we've talked about, one cloud provider is like you're renting an open field. So there's no structure in there. There's no lock in there. You're just putting data, and you don't think about it. You're shoving things into an open field, and I can drive by. I can be a random person. I can keep going. I can get out of my car. I can take the stuff. Is it really theft or not? It's not even leaving your door open. It's leaving the field wide open. Then another well-known cloud vendor, they will actually give you the structure, but they won't give you the door or the lock, right? So these are the analogies I use because people just really don't understand that while, to your point, cloud is really good in scalability, in keeping your operating expense down, in being able to protect you from outages. But if your folks are not trained into knowing what cloud has which characteristics and why you need to use them, then it might not be a good idea in the long run.
Yeah. You have to do your research and talk to your vendor. You know, come to an agreement on what operating together looks like.
That's a great point. And also know that some vendors, you have the choice, and some you don't.
Yeah, and if you don't have a choice, then you might not want to use that vendor.
Right. You might want to figure out a different way. So what is another threat that keeps you up at night?
Well, one thing that's really scary for me is the simjacking. Have you covered that on your show already?
I have, but don't worry about that.
Okay.
It's always a fun topic, so talk about simjacking.
Yeah, I mean, that keeps me up at night. So there's two-factor authentication, and some people use their cell phone as two-factor. So whether they get a phone call or text message, and that's in the beginning, that was a pretty good way to have security for your accounts. But now you have cyber criminals that are pretending to be you, and they get your account ported over to their phone.
Usually through social engineering.
Through social engineering. Sometimes, you know, they'll do some, you know, basic surveillance on you over the net and see the things you have. And maybe you have a keyword that you use with your provider or something like that. But whatever they do is they get access to your account and they say, okay, I have this new phone with this new SIM. I'd like to port my phone number over. And then that gives them access to two-factor situations across all of your accounts. And so that is really unnerving. And so people are looking at, you know, other multi-factor authentication solutions for them personally and for the enterprise.
Yeah, and I think in terms of the pivot, it's figure out a different methodology of keeping your account safe.
Yep.
We have covered it. It was really big news recently, especially in the cybersecurity cryptocurrency world, where very wealthy people have lost a significant amount of cryptocurrency because of simjacking.
Yeah, I read that. That's terrible. That'd be a bad day.
So, Chris, how do people get onto your podcast?
Yeah, so I guess the best way is to reach out to me on LinkedIn. That's where I'm the most active. And we'll have a conversation. We'll see if there's a good match, if you have something that you really want to talk about. And we think it'd be good for our listeners. It's a no-brainer. We'll bring you on.
That's great. So this has been Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo, joined with Chris Cochran, who's the head of threat intelligence for Netflix, and is the co-host of his own podcast, Hacker Valley Studios, dedicated to cybersecurity and cybersecurity education. You know, questions or comments on how to reach Chris or us, you can email us at info@svn.biz. You can always find us on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Twitter, and you can download our podcast at svn.biz, and we'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Silicon Valley Insider with Keith Koo. For questions or comments on today's program, or to schedule a complimentary consultation with Keith about your business, call 1-888-828-SVIN. That's 1-888-828-7846. 888-828-SVIN.